What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Avery.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 Quack!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Can you win summer? I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. We are back, and we have finished season two. We are still sort of, I don't know, hungover from season two, maybe is the right way to put it. But we have plenty of content to come, including our awards for season two, and I don't want to waste any time because we have a lot of awards. So this is how it worked. I sent out a form to the Quackalites. I said, hey, nominate your people for all these different awards. We're going to take the top nominees from the Quackalites and come to some sort of consensus pick for each and every of the 20 awards. We have, again, 20 awards. I don't want to waste a lot of time, so let's get into it. We're all donning our tuxedos. We're ready to go. And our first award, probably one I don't think will be much controversy. We have Best Secondary Character. Your nominees are Marnie, AJ, Gertie, or Maya. Let's go, Kevin, your thoughts.
First, Maya's a secondary character? I don't know about that. We can split hairs there, but I think the clear slam dunk winner here is Marnie.
I would agree. Tommy, any
issue? I at first I was like, I don't know, is Maya a secondary character? It's just weird because she's like a core duck who was left over from season one. I think it's Marnie is the best secondary character, not to slight Maya, who I thought was very good this season.
Yes.
I think it's just, I think I see secondary as someone who isn't really, he's a non-duck, not kind of like, not integral to the plot really. And you could argue that the that Marnie, AJ, and Gertie, like you could take them or leave them in terms of like plotting out the season, but you need Maya. So I think Marnie is the winner, with a bit of an asterisk next to Maya being like, she, like, it's like when you put like Brad Pitt as like best supporting actor and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it's like, well, you know, he had just as much screen time as Leo in that movie, so I don't know. But anywho, Marnie's the winner.
There you go, Marnie. Very easy. Let's move on. Best non-Mighty Duck. So we had four nominees for this one. Your best non-Mighty Duck nominees are Marnie, AJ, Coach Cole, and Coach T with some nominations in there. So four strong characters. How are you feeling, Tommy? How would you...
I just quickly want to throw this out there. It's hard to like judge these not knowing what's coming down the pike.
Okay.
Like where, like this feels like another category where like Coach Cole being in there is kind of weird, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's, and like Coach Cole and Coach T I think are very fun. Okay. Mike shared his spreadsheet with us with all the nominations. Yeah, I think Coach T didn't log enough screen time to win this award. And, you know, Coach Cole and Marnie have very different like characters in this. I would give it to, as the best non-Mighty Duck, I do think it's a character of Coach Cole.
Kevin, your feelings?
Well, do we want to say it's the best non-Duck who's a child, or
yeah, I think
kid. Yeah, that's yeah. What I'm thinking.
Then yeah, then it's AJ.
Yeah, I think that's how some people took this. I did not give any sort of exclamation when we went on this
any part. Kind of what
explanation? Sorry,
exclamation.
I'm gonna throw a wrench in here. Evan.
Yeah, interesting. Is he?
Well, they wear the Ducks jersey.
He starts
a
Mighty
the
Duck,
end.
Yeah, then they come back. But then if, AJ also.
But
wears
most
a
of his
Ducks
screen
jersey.
Time is as not a Mighty Duck.
It's a dominator.
I would agree with Evan being in this category. If you're looking at like best leading actor, best supporting actor type deal, where it's like who got the most screen time, like he did It's a great point by Kevin. He did spend most of his time as a non-Mighty Duck. So I think we can pull a switcheroo here if we wanted to and pull Evan or AJ.
I'm gonna go Evan. I'm gonna go Evan.
I mean I kinda like Evan too.
I also like Evan as the winner of best non-Mighty Duck because he's not a Mighty Duck here. He's a Dominator.
All right. So we
suck it, Quackalites.
We just changed the rules.
Yeah. Well, that's our podcast. We can do what we want. We go on to Best Adult here. Only three nominees for Best Adult. And Alex is not one of them from the Quackalites, which I thought was interesting. Coach Cole, Marnie, and Coach
Wait, you're surprised that our Quackalites didn't put Alex in the Best Adult category?
I thought maybe somebody might.
I'd be surprised if she got any votes.
She got zero votes.
Oh man, that's good job, Quackalites. You guys never let us down.
Yeah. So again, three nominees: Coach Cole, Marnie, and Coach T.
I'm giving it to Coach Cole.
I would agree, even though Marnie has a strong case, just not enough. Not enough like relevance to the plot for me.
Yeah, I agree. Coach Cole was great. Josh Duhamel was fantastic all season in his role. I want to give a quick honorable mention to the, I always forget his name, but the creepy one.
Toby.
Toby. Yeah, he came on really strong towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he had like two good episodes. I just don't think he had enough throughout the season to really work it there. Our next category, Best Mighty Duck. The top four nominees for Best Mighty Duck. We had a lot of votes here. Nick, Maya, Gertie, and Jace were your top four nominees. Or we could pull another switcheroo if you wanted to. But this one's tough. I think Nick was strong early on, kind of faded. Jace came on late. Maya was solid. Gertie was solid.
No love for Coop.
Yeah, no love for Coop in this category. He's got some things coming up that I think he could be a contender for.
I think that, you know, and obviously we know that, you know, Nick, Maya, Gertie, Coop are not best on the ice. Like, no one's questioning that. I do think it's like, you know, who do we like the most on the Ducks? And I think it's Nick, you know, even though he kind of faded as the season went. I think he was strong all season. I think Gertie getting a nomination is a nice hat tip, and I wonder if we'd gotten her all season if she would kind of emerge as the fan favorite. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna go with Nick. Also, lots of love for Maya. She was also great this season.
Yeah. I guess even though he did fade off, like he was kind of integral throughout, and he sort of carried the comedy early on. I'm good with Nick. It does feel like a little. No, like, real big winner here. No real obvious choice, but Kevin?
Yeah, I'll agree with that, but I do think Nick and Maya are a lot closer than the tallies here.
Interesting. All right, so now we go to best moment or scene, which was very split. Very split, but so...
I'm reading the spreadsheet here. It's hilarious that our Quackalites voted for the Bash Bros cameo as the best scene.
Yeah. It was like, what, the first 30 seconds of the entire season?
Yeah, I mean, it was very split. Nobody got more than three, like, individual votes. But the best moment or scene nominees are the Ducks at the Honda Center, Nick at the hotel, Coach T's monologue when he runs into Alex, Evan's penalty shot versus Canada, and the Bash Bros cameo.
Can I add one?
Sure.
So I think in a vacuum, because I think there's a lot of disappointment about this, but Ducks at the Honda Center when the PR guy is like kind of talking about like the literal spirit of the Ducks. Mm-hmm. You could argue, I think that was the best moment. You know, that was like encapsulating. And like I said before, which Kevin doesn't listen, is like in a vacuum. It's like because we didn't get any Ducks cameos, everyone's gonna shit on it. And like I'm not saying that's the wrong thing, but like in terms of a moment, and if you get a moment after that, does that like that's probably the one. If you get like Russ Tyler in there, then that's gonna be the best moment. So I don't know. I think this kind of shows how a lot of people feel about season two is, I don't know. I think the disappointment in some of the later episodes of not having Duck's cameos makes this kind of difficult to pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the campfire scene might get a little more, but like that might have been my selection. But yeah, Landslide. Obviously, Coach T was great. So just any initial thoughts? I'm not really sure where to go here. If I had to pick one of the five, probably Evan's penalty shot, just because I think it kind of did. They were trying to mirror, you know, the original, and they sort of got it, but they didn't go all the way. So it wasn't perfect, but it was, you know, pretty satisfying at the end where Jace gave up the shot and he did the penalty shot. So that would be my pick, Evan's penalty shot against Canada. Tommy?
Let's hear from Kevin.
Oh, interesting.
I'm struggling with this too. Man, I don't know. This one's really tough. And I to Tommy's other point, I think this is kind of because we didn't have that kind of linchpin, you know, cameo episode or anything like that. I think it's, I'm even struggling trying to remember what some of these even are. I don't know. This is tough. I'm going to yield my time to Tommy.
Tommy yielded to Kevin. Kevin has yielded back. This is like a political debate. I love it.
I think it's penalty shot versus Canada is the best moment. Although I think by then we were all kind of like disappointed in terms of like, we didn't get the cameos. I would say like, looking back, I think it was like end of episode 6 where it was just like Alex on the phone being like, hey, you know, Gordon Bombay said to call you. You know, I think that was like a good goosebumps moment. So I think I'm going to go rogue and say that should be it.
I like
the
that
phone call.
I think about
to the immense disappointment.
Again, you got to kind of look at these things in a vacuum. It's like, you know, Bash Bros cameo was awesome, you know, and then looking back at it, you're just like, damn, that's all we got, and it sucks. And, you know, same thing. It's like the end of episode 6. We talked about that being a highlight, and think about like, in this is best moment, how did you feel during that moment? And to me, like that was what kind of encapsulated. I'm super excited. And then you get the disappointment of not seeing another duck other than still pictures.
Let me throw out one more that did get nominated, did not make the top nominations. But in terms of everyone freaking out, that Coach T reveal at the end of episode 9, I mean, that sort of had the biggest, you know, I guess,
cultural impact. Yeah, I guess that's the equivalent. Yeah. That's the moment.
I mean, I'll go with that because I do think that was maybe my loudest exclamation while watching the season. So, yeah, I'll go with Coach T's reveal. I wish we had gotten it sooner in the season, but.
Yeah,
I agree. I will say that moment was ruined for me on the Discord because someone didn't mark something as spoilers. I won't call them out. But that was definitely the best moment. And trying to think back to season 1, you know, I'm sure we could have talked for hours about our favorite moment. And in this one, we're trying to really scrape the bottom of the barrel, honestly. And it's a character from season 1 coming back is our best moment.
Yeah, our best moment from last year, the OG Ducks in the pizza parlor.
I guess that was kind of a slam dunk. So
yeah,
this one is more of a, I don't know, what's a sports term? A
nail biter.
Well, it's not exciting.
Rock fight.
It's like a
relegation battle.
Old school NFC East Monday Night Football game where it's like Cowboys, former Redskins, where it'd be like 3-6.
It's like Cardinals and Commanders or whatever. It's like, oh, exciting. Yeah. Or it's you know, a tankathon game where you got the Texans playing, or like watching Iowa football. How about that?
There you go.
Damn, we have any Iowa listeners out there.
All right, let's move on. Best secondary storyline. Some good nominations here. We had the Candy sports book, you had Toby and Marnie's relationship, Sam and Gertie's friendship, Coach T coming back for revenge, and then Nick with Rich Eisen are your five nominees there. Any initial thoughts there, Tommy?
I think Candy was like the best one-off kind of storyline. We didn't get a ton of like, with the exception of, I guess, some of the relationship stuff, kind of like throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think initially I'd be like, oh, Candy, that's the best one. But I'm kind of hemming and hawing a little bit just because it was just that one episode. And then like Nick with Rich Eisen, is that really a secondary storyline? I don't know. I guess like Candy was the best B plot you're going to get. And so that's going to be my vote.
Yeah. I think storyline might be a little misleading here. Because the best secondary storyline might have been, I don't know, like the love triangle between Jace, Evan, and Sophie or something, you know, like not necessarily like an episode B plot. We all love the Candy sports book, but I don't know if I'd qualify that as a storyline either. Like, I think, I don't know. Out of these nominations, I guess I'll go with the Candy sports book because we all really enjoyed that moment.
I would agree. Part of the episode. I think it needs to win something because it was good. So we go on as we move through here and we try to keep this under like 4 hours. Most improved in season. So this is only season two from start to finish. Who had the best growth, character arc, that kind of deal? Your nominees, we have five nominees. You have Jace, you have Coach Cole, you have Evan, AJ, and Maya. Any early thoughts, Kevin?
I think I'm going to agree with our Quackalites here. I think Jace is kind of the runaway winner here, with the rest of them kind of grouped all closely together after that. I am also going to say I disagree with them saying Coach Cole. I thought he was great throughout. I didn't think he really had a massive improvement over the season. But I do think a lot of the kids showed a lot of great like improvement in their character development.
Interesting. I would have went with Coach Cole, but that is a good point in terms of like, I guess character growth. He sort of comes around at the end, but I don't think it was set up very well about his, you know, wife and stuff like that. So I'll agree with you. I'll go with Jace. Tommy,
I'm gonna go with Jace as well. I really liked him at the beginning, and then when he kind of like became motivated with the Ducks, I actually thought he kind of ended a little bit flat, and maybe it's because like the whole him faking the shot, whatever, was weird.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, I'm gonna give it to Jace.
All right. Yeah, faking the shot. Keep that in mind for a future award here. So now we go from most improved from season one to season two. So take their performance on season.
I think we're gonna have a consensus on this one, and not with our Quackalites.
Are you gonna say Coop? Because I'm gonna say Coop.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, it's Coop.
Nice. Yeah.
Everybody said Maya, but I thought she was great in season one too. I mean, maybe she got a little bit more screen time this year, but
yeah, Maya was definitely better in season two, but I think a lot of the kids were. But I think Coop was vastly better. Like, I don't think it was. I think Coop and Maya were great this season, but Coop was very different, and I think it was a good transition.
So just for the record, the nominees were Maya, Evan, Coop, and nobody. Nobody. Three nominations.
God.
All right. Best character who only appeared in season two. We had really three nominations here. Cole, Marnie, and Gertie were our top nominations. Tommy?
I think it's Coach Cole, because I think the season, and you could argue the series, kind of like was resting on his shoulders, and I think he pulled it off. And you know, there's some other things that we can talk about, but I think Coach Cole for me is best character in season two, a season two only character.
I agree. I, like you said, it kind of relied on him, and he delivered in a way I maybe wasn't even expecting. So Kevin, yeah, any issues?
No, I agree with that too. Again, Marnie got a lot of votes here, and Marnie is great, and we love Marnie. But I don't think was key enough to the series to warrant that kind of consideration. I do want to throw out there, I did really like AJ throughout the series. I thought he was really good in that like meathead kind of role. I thought he was great. I think he should have gotten a little bit more love here.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of disappeared for a couple episodes and then he came back. But yeah, I thought he was good really early and good right at the end. And who knows if it was actually him singing, but I was impressed by his singing. Now we move on. I think that's all the character stuff. Oh, except for we'll give a little teaser. Best hair is coming up. The Logan LaRue Memorial Award. But we move first to best hockey moment. Your nominees for best hockey moment: Evan's penalty shot and celebration, the Canada flying V, the icebreaker challenge, the Ducks practice at the Honda Center, and the fifth nominee, nothing.
you can feel the tenor of our
crackle. Yeah, there's right some now. Angry ones out there for sure. I mean, I gave the penalty. I thought Evan's penalty shot was in contention for best moment or scene. So in terms of the hockey moment, like looking back, I think there's some good nominees. Like the icebreaker was fun. Canada's flying V was good. Evan's penalty shot was good. I don't know. I really like the flying V. I'm sort of conflicted here. But if I had to pick, I'd probably say Evan's penalty shot just because that's what they built it up to. But I could be convinced.
I'm going to go with Rich Eisen's announcing just as a whole. Because I truly do think that, like, in some sense, like, held the season together. I mean, I know we talked about, like, it was weird that Rich Eisen was in, like, six episodes. But I don't know. I feel like if you remove that, it's going to be wildly disappointing. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. But I think I'm going to go with Rich Eisen and, like, all of those hockey moments, I guess.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's like, I feel like Rich Eisen needs an award here, but I'm not sure if this is the one. Mm-hmm. And so, Mike, can you scroll up on our doc?
Yeah, he doesn't really have anything else he could be.
Yeah, so I'm gonna force it. I say Rich Eisen, you know, calling youth hockey is the best hockey moment.
Wow, okay.
I did like the Canada flying V though. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, that was a good twist. Wow, that's an upset. Good for Rich Eisen. He wasn't even really a top nominee, but we go on to most unrealistic moment. We have four nominees.
A lot of nominations. A lot of nominations for this.
Yeah, four of the four top nominees. You have Alex's knuckle puck, the penalty shot with Evan, the lights out penalty shot, Coop scoring a goal, and Jace's glitch and him overcoming it. Your most unrealistic moment, Tommy, we'll go with you.
Wait, before we go into, can we go through this entire list?
Sure. So these were all the nominations. Kids at a hockey camp hating hockey, Canada's flying V, the Ducks winning just in general at hockey after not like training, Coop starting against Canada, no championship game at the camp, Coach Cole and Alex not realizing their team left the championship game. The coach's classic in general, which I thought was a great one. Like,
that's a good one.
Yeah. The motorhome making it across the country was a good one too. Them serving duck at the Anaheim Ducks dinner. Nick's ankle injury. All the kids knowing landslide, which I guess we sort of confirmed that one was very unrealistic. Someone put the kids having a swim in the lake without adequate lifeguard supervision, which was funny. Nick having enough candy to cover the camp, the Ducks wall at the Honda Center, and Jace scoring in his own net. So those were all the nominees.
I recommend we break this in the most unrealistic hockey moment and most unrealistic non-hockey moment.
I like it.
Yeah.
And so most unrealistic hockey moment, I think, is Jace's glitch / overcoming it. I think that really takes the cake. Mike, any thoughts on that before we spend the next 40 minutes talking about the rest?
No, that's fine.
So most unrealistic, and like just thinking some of these and like Even like, oh, Nick, you ran, how many miles did he run to that hotel?
He ran like 10 miles, yeah.
It's like Nick would have died.
I think my favorite of this list is all the kids knowing Landslide.
Mine too. I think, and we've got that proven from Luke Islam said, like, yeah, like I didn't know that song. No one did. Mm-hmm. But there's so many good ones on here. Like Nick's ankle injury was great. Just like that. It wasn't even a second long trip. It was just like, if you blinked, you would miss this essentially key part of the story.
But also, one of the most truly insane ones is the Ducks Wall at Honda Center. Well, like, yeah. That would be truly insane if that's what the actual Honda Center looked like.
That's, I don't know. I could see Disney making them do that. Like, I could definitely see Disney being like, you're going to have this on here.
Yeah, I mean, the Ducks aren't owned by Disney anymore. So,
for sure. I mean, like, back in the day. Like,
right, that's true. And then they just left it.
Because they super glued it on. A lot of good ones on here. I think it's going to be Landslide. I think a lot of these fall into the hockey category. But all the kids knowing Landslide to me is most unrealistic moment that's not hockey related.
I do also like kids at hockey camp hating hockey.
Yeah, that was a funny one. Yeah, honorable mention to the coach's classic. I saw that nomination. I was like, oh, yeah, that was kind of insane. That like these NHLers and former college hockey players were playing full check against these little kids. But your most unrealistic hockey moment, Jace's glitch, most unrealistic non-hockey moment, all the kids knowing Landslide. As we move on to our biggest disappointment, I don't think we'll need a lot of discussion here. Biggest disappointment, your nominees are Coop's skill level, turning hockey into what divides the Ducks, just the lack of hockey in general, and the lack of OG Ducks cameos.
And whoever put season two.
Oh, yeah. Someone just put season two. That was funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The Quack Lights are funny. I think we can all agree on the lack of cameos, though, unless anybody wants to speak up.
Season two is making me think. It's a lack of cameos. If you have cameos, season two is a lot better in everyone's mind.
I would extend that a little bit to say lack of cameos and lack of like any sort of fan service whatsoever. Like,
yeah,
like so many missed opportunities for little Easter eggs here and there that just were just like not even considered. I think that is kind of all lumped into the same thing.
Yeah. And so I think, and maybe this is a topic for another episode, is like, if you just call this Game Changer season two and remove all Mighty Ducks references, you still have the same show, you know?
Yeah. Essentially you do. Yeah. Yeah. If you change like the team name, like,
yeah,
that's about it. Best use of technology. This one was, I think, better in season one, but we'll include it here. So best use of technology, the tracking bracelets, actually finding Nick using his tracking bracelet, the knuckle puck. I think just that some people took it as like a general, you know, movie making technology. And then just the big board at the front, keeping the standings for everybody. But
I would say the tracking bracelets / big board kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, right.
And to me, that's the winner.
Yeah, all right.
I agree.
All right. So now we go into the parenting section.
Let's read all of the nominees for this one.
Okay. You want to read all the ones for the... All right. We'll do... You want to do best parenting moment first or worst parenting moment?
Worst parenting moment.
Worst parenting moment. Your nominees. Cole withholding important things from his own son. Coach Cole making the trade without telling anybody or like forcing it through. Alex upset about hockey camp being intense. And your top nominee, the rest of your top nominees were Cole not telling Jace about why Epic was built at the site. The rest of the nominees after that. Cole not talking to his son the whole ride home after the coaches or the showcase last year.
Missed that.
Cody's parents nicknaming him Fries, which I thought was a good one. Cole telling Evan he had a ceiling. Cole forcing Jace to play in the coaches classic. The Ducks spending money to pay for their kids to go to this elite hockey camp when they know, you know, they're not good. And the Ducks' parents letting them go in the RV to California.
So we think Coach Cole is the worst parent in this show, right?
Yeah, I mean, it turned out that way. Early on, I was thinking, hey, like he's just trying to help his son, but as it went on and more stuff being revealed, like I guess he comes around in the end, but
He comes around in the end, but it's like clearly like, wow, you were not really doing much, were you?
yeah. So, I would agree. I would think Cole's the worst parent.
I would say, yeah, like just kind of Cole's most of his parenting strategy was pretty bad. But
I
yeah,
think
Alex still like babying Evan and trying to like, oh, you need to be with your friends. Like, God, cut the cord, Alex.
this one's tough. I do think the like worst moment, if like if we're gonna boil it down to a moment, is Coach Cole making that straight. Coach Cole and Alex like so,
Right.
not like grabbing a hold of that trade discussion and just like letting it run rampant, like that derailed everything. So I think if we're talking strictly moments, then that takes the cake.
I think that's good because I think they both deserve like to have their children taken from them. So making the trade, like they're conniving, making the trade, patting themselves on the back about it, and like just wrecking everything. I think that's the worst of parenting.
I'm kind of surprised nobody put this in here, but like Alex hooking up with the coach, like I mean that's
Yeah.
kind of fucked up too. Like I don't know, so maybe that kind of gets lumped in that same group, but
Yeah, that's a good honorable mention. I like the trade. That was the award was moment, and yeah, that was by far the worst moment. And then Cole going above and beyond, just talking about it and having Marnie do it and all that kind of stuff was bad. All right, we move to best parenting moment. Our top four nominees. We have Cole being a dad at the showcase, Cole and Jace's combo at the lake, Alex helping Jace get his confidence back, and Alex and Cole not drafting their own kids.
I think not drafting their own kids and Alex helping Jace get his confidence back are, I think, the two that I'm considering.
Does that qualify as a parenting moment though? Is that a coaching moment?
Right.
Well, Alex isn't much of a coach.
She's not
Well, but
Jace's
she's not his
parent,
parent.
though.
That's true. Then I guess, yeah, not drafting their own kids, I think, was good parenting.
All right. I agree. Kevin, any
No,
thoughts? Okay.
that sounds good.
All right, and then we move to the Cake Eater Award for best use of food. So we have I'm gonna extend it to the fifth nominee because I thought they were pretty good. Best use of food, the candy for the candy bedding. Coach Cole stealing ice cream in the middle of the night. Coob's response to when they talked about avocado mousse, and he was like, "Why?" The championship banquet food fight, and the last nominee, the Lightning McQueen cake and the squirrel beating the cake eater there. So those are your nominees. I mean, candy again was probably the best storyline. I liked them all though. I liked the Lightning McQueen cake for some reason. I don't know why, but I guess if I had to pick, I'd go with the candy bets just for the storyline and everything.
Yeah, I think it's tough not to give it to that, but I kind of want to give it to the Lightning McQueen cake. I think that was better specific food, if you will.
I think it's easily the candy bets, and it also makes me want to go back and revisit the best secondary storyline award.
Why you think it should be
You want to
just
give it
because
a
like I don't think that qualifies as a storyline. Like that was just like a thing that they did in an episode,
Yeah, I
you
guess if we
know?
want to say like best like season long secondary storyline, and then for that it could be kind of then it might be more of maybe Nick coming to grips with kind of like him and Evan kind of not having the same goals necessarily, or like even AJ kind of becoming more likable. And I think that's the better secondary storyline there, one of those things that just kind of like present or present through the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, I think like Evan, Jace, and Sophie, like I think that was a more impactful storyline than any of these other storylines that are listed here.
Oh,
They're
I'd
all
say that
pretty
I would argue
general.
that's probably a main storyline. Now, like, yes, you could say, oh, the one storyline is them going to hockey camp, but I don't know. I would say maybe.
Well, I mean, there's a primary storyline and there are secondary storylines. Like, you can't have multiple primary storylines.
Yeah, you can.
That's not how
then they converge. That is a. Have you ever seen any piece of fiction in your life?
All right. Wow. I would qualify something like that as a secondary storyline, not a like a hijinks in an episode as a secondary storyline.
Yeah, we're talking about season-long things. Like, now, what would you say is, if there's only one primary storyline, is it, well, the Ducks go to summer camp, you know? And it, like, that's essentially the that's just what the season is about,
right?
And then there's like different threads throughout, and some are bigger, some are, you know, not. And like, yeah, we're on the same page about Candy being just like a B plot in one episode, and it's mentioned ever again.
If you talk about the main characters, Evan, Jace, I mean, like, I'll give you Sophie. Like, she was not a main character, but like, it seems like the most of the main characters were involved in that. So I would consider that a main storyline too.
All right, fair enough.
All right, so do we want to add an award for season-long secondary storyline, or do you want to just move on?
I mean, we can just move on. That's fine.
We can just talk about it in another episode about primary versus secondary storylines in season two.
There we go. All right, so we go to biggest missed opportunity, as we have 1, 2, 3, 4 more awards as we wrap this up. Biggest missed opportunity, there were really three of the prime nominations, and this one sort of overlapped, but missed opportunity, obviously getting more of the OG Ducks. Keenan teaching the Ducks the knuckle puck is another top nomination, and then having no coach of the Anaheim Ducks, and like having that coach not be somebody people thought was a missed opportunity. But there's a plenty of others, as Tommy and Kevin can go down here. But any thoughts here?
Just want to quickly call out some funny ones. Emilio Estes being a missed opportunity, of course, that's funny, but also true. Having the show say it is okay to care about hockey at some point is a very good nomination as well. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about this a ton, but I mean, getting more of the original Mighty Ducks, Duck references, no little Easter eggs. I mean, I think all of those were huge missed opportunities. And I think a very specific one would be Keenan with teaching the Ducks and knuckle puck. I think those all kind of fit in the same category.
Right.
But I think that's the kind of the obvious one.
Yeah, I think for sure. I'm kind of wondering, like, any folks who are involved in the show listening to our like analysis of the first episode was like, oh, we got that cameo right off the bat. I can't wait to see what else we get.
Yeah.
And just like being like, oh, yeah, they're not going to like this.
Yeah. It was almost more fucked up to have that cameo.
Right.
Than not have it, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But yeah, we can just do it.
Quick poll. Do you think the season would have been, well, people would have taken the season better if we didn't get that early cameo?
Like, I don't think it changed anything. Like, I think they
don't think it would change that. No, not like this actual season, but like how people perceived the season as it went on.
Like I said, I think like it was so short and so small. Like, I don't think they would have, it would have changed many people's opinions at all. Like, I think it got people excited in that first season. And then as it went on and on and on. So yeah, maybe the high wasn't as high, but I think they would have ended in the same place where they were sort of, the people who are disappointed were disappointed. So
yeah, I think it's tough to say. I think we're like, hey, you know, we got those Bash Bros right off the bat, we're gonna get more. And if there wasn't that, you'd be like, when are we gonna have a cameo. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting question. I think both are unfulfilling.
All right, so we'll just keep it general and move on to the Logan LaRue Memorial Award for best hair. Your top three nominees here. We had some good nominees, but the top three are Evan, Coach Cole, and AJ.
No love for Jace, huh? Interesting.
I guess not. I guess not. The hair's too short for Jace, I guess. People like a little bit of length when it's the male hair.
Pretty long.
Not he. I don't think he was like Evan's side though. Like Evan or AJ had the nice little flip up, and then Coach Cole, obviously, he had it all. And I did like the Alex like messing his hair up, and he still looked good. So tough competition here for best hair.
I'm gonna start by saying I'm still bummed that Logan wasn't in season two. But so the winner obviously is Logan wherever he is. But for the sake of this, I think I'll go with Evan because it was one of the first things that I noticed in this season was like he kind of had like his glow up. So I think I'm going to go with Evan. But AJ is also a very good choice.
Interesting. If it was me, I would have picked Coach Cole. But I'm okay with Evan. Tommy?
I don't know. I think all three are deserving of mention.
Tension is building.
I know. Let me give it to Evan.
All right. That's fair. All right, last two, the Charlie Conway Award for most petulant moment. The nominees, we had four main nominees. Evan giving up during the showcase because he, you know, realized he had a ceiling. Jace faking his glitch. Nick upset about not playing in the final and no one, you know, caring about him not playing in the final. And the Ducks hating hockey and hating on Evan for it, which wasn't really a moment, but it did get multiple nominations. So.
Yeah, I guess maybe the them playing with their offhand or whatever and then being super offended by
yeah.
it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, that you guys are trash, you know, and you know it.
That one was very good. What I keep going back to, like, I truly feel like Jace, like, channeled Charlie Conway at some points in the season. And like when he was like so mopey and stuff at first, like I don't know if that qualifies as a moment.
Yeah,
it's more of a lot of moments, but I think it has to be Jace because like there obviously was so much Charlie Conway that went into that character. So I think it has to be something with him. Though I do really like the absurdity of how upset they got about them using their offense.
That's true.
So I don't know, but that's a tough one.
We did get multiple nominations for anything with Jace and anything with Evan, which I disqualified from the top nomination list. But again, we can. It's our podcast. It's our award show. We can change it how we want.
Yeah, I think Jace is the most petulant, and I think Evan, when he's like kind of being whiny, I always think it's kind of like good cause because Alex is like doing something to really force that. While some of Jace just like, God, stop being such a like a dick, you know?
Yeah, like the scene where he's like going back at Alex whenever she's like trying to like cheer him up or whatever, like that was pretty peak petulant.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I think Jace being like very rude to Alex when she's like being like, you know, trying to help him out, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he's like, ooh.
All right. I like it. We can give him like a lifetime achievement award or something. And then we go to the big one, the MVP of season two. We have, we'll say five nominees. We have Coach Cole. You have Nick. You have Marnie, Jace, and Coach T. All got multiple nominations. So Coach T snuck in there. But your MVP of season two.
I also like all the people who managed not to score on Coop.
Yeah, that was a funny one that someone said.
They're the ones who got them into the championship.
Yeah, they helped the Ducks.
Sure. I'm going to give it to Coach Cole. I have issues with his parenting, of course, but I think maybe I'm kind of giving it to Josh Duhamel, where it's like, look, we all know how we feel about season two. It's not as good as season one, and like it's not close. We think that we were disappointed by a lot of things, but I think we really liked Coach Cole and it would be very easy for us to dislike him because he's not Gordon Bombay. And so I don't think that our issues with season two have to do with Coach Cole. And I think Coach Cole helped make the season, you know, potentially like, you know, on a scale of good to bad, where it's only good or only bad, Coach Cole helps make an argument for good. And so I'm giving Coach Cole the MVP for my vote.
Got it. I do love the good bad shout out there, but I'm gonna agree with Tommy. I like the reasoning too that it would have been really easy to just you know, sandbag him the entire time because he's not Bombay. So I thought he's deserving of the MVP. I don't think anybody else really like stood head and shoulders above the rest. Maybe Jace sneaks in there, but but I think he's kind of in that, you know, alone in a category, and then everybody else is in a category beneath him.
I do like that. I like the reasoning. Yeah, if Coach Cole or Josh Duhamel was bad, I feel like the season was over. Like it would have been horrible. So for whatever your flaws for the season, I do think he made it better than it would have been without him. So yeah, we'll give it to Coach Cole. Congratulations, Josh Duhamel. Probably his most prestigious acting award or MVP award. So congratulations on that. There you go. I'll put the whole recap in the show notes. You can look through it there because we are already way over time and we got to get out of here. So for us, thecorrectdeck.com.
Real quick.
Oh, Tommy, yes.
Let's give season two a good or a bad rating. Just a good or a bad.
Oh.
We won't explain it and we can get into it a later episode.
Interesting. Interesting. I like this a lot.
I will go first.
Okay.
All right. On a scale of good to bad, I'm giving it bad.
Kevin?
Shit. Yeah. Fuck. I don't know. There are so many different ways you can take this.
Right.
This is very interesting. I'm going to go good.
Oh, interesting.
With no explanation, we'll talk about it later.
Interesting. I am going to give it good too, because I cannot give it slightly good, but I'll give it good. So interesting. I was not expecting Kevin to
there's
go
a scale good. Of good to bad. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And I think people probably would have assumed I would have said it was good.
Right.
And Kevin would have said it was bad, but we'll talk about our good, bad ratings. And we could also go into, you know, more of a scale, because we know things aren't like just black and white with when you're dealing with art like the Mighty Ducks Game Changer season two.
Right. Nice. We're making good bad happen finally. I like this. So for us, thequackdeck.com, go there, contact us at quackdeckpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quackdeckpod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, tell us your MVP. Thanks to all our producers. I think our man Ed is our most recent producer. He re-upped, so thank you, Ed, for that. And thanks for listening, obviously, throughout the season and throughout this year. We'll come back with one more episode this year with the Quack Question of the Year and some, you know, State of the Union stuff. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together and give us a good rating on the good-bad scale.
Quack, quack. Ain't no turning back. Start to believe the man
is up. Hold a quack attack. The Quack Attack is back. Jack, oh yeah!